This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, North Korea says it will conduct a nuclear test at any time and any place it wants, and that it is fully ready to respond to any option taken by the U.S. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham is here on that story. Also, Congress plans to keep the lights on with an omnibus spending bill, a $1 trillion package that combines 11 appropriations bills that will fund the government through the end of the current fiscal year. The Congress has until the end of the week to approve the measure. Now, does the measure reflect the conservative priorities articulated by President Trump? Maryland Congressman Andy Harris, member of the Appropriations Committee in the House, will be here with the answer. And a new book says creationism is not religion and biological evolution is not science. The author, Liberty Professor Daniel Howell, is here to explain. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. Let me remind you, pastors, May the 24th through the 26th, the annual Watchman on the Wall briefing just for pastors here in Washington, D.C. If you'd like more information, go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. And just a reminder, tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern time, we will be hosting a nationwide broadcast, webcast, Free to Believe, which will talks about religious liberty in the land of the free. We'll have a number of individuals who have seen, they've seen their religious freedom taken by the government. We'll have First Liberty Institute, Mike Berry will be here, Dr. Everett Piper of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Archbishop William Laurie, retired chaplain, Navy chaplain Wes Motter. And this is an interesting one here. You're going to pay attention to this one. West Michigan Beef Company, the owner, Donald Vanderboon. The story is amazing and how the government, yes, your government, you're paying with your tax dollars, is penalizing him for his faith. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, 2 p.m. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, North Korea. In talking with a number of experts, say that the situation has never been more tense between North Korea and the United States and, quite frankly, most parts of the rest of the world. Joining us now with more is South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who serves on the Armed Services Committee in the United States Senate, as well as the Judiciary Committee. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you. Not many religious liberties in North Korea.
No, in fact, they top the list annually in the rogue nations that persecute those of faith. But you tweeted out recently the time is running out on North Korea's threat.
Yes. Basically, I want your listeners to understand that from the North Korean point of view, the war never ended. The Korean War never ended. The regime is basically worship of a family, and the Kim Jong-un line, or the dynasties of North Korea, and this tension that you see is long overdue because somebody's got to stop North Korea from developing a missile, putting a nuclear weapon on top, and they're on the path to do that. Time is running out. So I applaud President Trump for putting North Korea and the world on notice. This is an unacceptable outcome.
Well, Kim Jong-un is, I mean, when you look at these line of dictators, I mean, I'm not sure that you can get, I don't know, you could get someone that's more crazy and unstable than he is.
I mean, I don't know what the crazy gene is, but they've got it, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, from haircut on down.
Yeah, well, his granddad claimed to have defeated the Japanese army by himself, born in a mountain, spit out by a volcano. His dad claimed to have played one round of golf and had nine holes in one. That's when they lost me. I play enough golf to... No, that's not true. And he killed his brother, his boy's being half-brother, and blew his uncle up with an aircraft gun. So not the kind of guy you want to have a nuclear weapon that can hit America. So I think Trump's right to tell China that, we don't want a war, but we're not going to let an ICBM be developed by North Korea with a nuclear weapon on top that can hit America. I just don't think that's an acceptable outcome, and I'm glad the president's doing something about it.
So is the use of military force, is that one of the options that's on the table?
Absolutely. Here's what I've come to conclude. It's just not me, Tony. It's every expert we've had to come before the Armed Services Committee. We had four people who were expert on Asia and North Korea, and they all said, until there's a credible threat of military force on the table, the North Korean Kim Jong-un regime will continue to develop a missile and try to miniaturize the weapon, because they believe that if they can get a missile to hit America with a nuclear weapon on top, they're home free, the regime is in a safe harbor. But if they did believe that getting a missile could actually cost the regime its existence, it would change their behavior up until Trump came along. I don't think anybody in North Korea or China ever really believed that military force was on the table. Now, let me say, he had to use military force to stop their missile program. It would probably lead to a major conflict. A lot of damage could be done in South Korea by North Korea, Japan, and China included. It'd be the end of North Korea. But here's what I'd like people to know. Without an ICBM that would hit America, the damage would be limited to over there, not our homeland. We have soldiers over there. We have all kind of interest in South Korea. But I think Trump's view is that he has to defend the homeland before everything else.
Well, Senator Graham, isn't this very similar to Ronald Reagan and his view of foreign policy was peace through strength, and that you're not wanting to use the military, but you're going to put it on the table where, as you pointed out, in the last 8 years, the first thing that Barack Obama would do was take the military off the list of options.
Well, even if he said it, Tony, nobody believed it. He withdrew from Iraq before time was right. Ignored sound military advice, withdrew our troops from Iraq. He built and forced the red line he drew in Syria, and the rest is history. You know, he flew B-2s up and down the border of North Korea after they tested a nuclear weapon. But nobody thought much about it in North Korea. If Ronald Reagan had sent rowboats towards South Korea and North Korea, they would have changed their behavior. So I think Trump is right to engage with the Chinese to give them a little bit of space. But let the Chinese leadership that basically owns the North Korean economy, that if you don't take care of North Korea, I will. Nobody wants a war. Nobody, including the president. But this president is not going to allow this crazy man to have an ICBM with a nuclear weapon on top to hit America. And he's right to insist that that never happened. So whether or not there's military force really depends on what China and the rest of the world does.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. My guest, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. He serves on the Senate Appropriations Committee as well as the Senate Armed Services Committee. Senator, the capabilities that North Carolina has. Now, they have tried to launch...
North Korea.
No, North Korea, sorry.
Yeah. North Carolina's got their own dangers.
Well, I know, and there's
we can handle them.
There's, and the border between the two is pretty intense, I know. Anyway.
Their capabilities are real.
Well, let's talk about the launch of missiles from submarines. Now, currently, they don't have ICBM that they can launch from North Korea. But what about the capabilities from their submarines, and how close could they get to the U.S.?
They've got one SSP sub that could actually launch a missile from the sub. They haven't perfected the technology yet, whether it be land-based or sea-launched missiles that can cross into the United States with a warhead on top. They had two problems, trying to create a solid fuel missile, which would be hard to detect to launch. You know, North Korea intelligence gathering is very tough. We don't have many resources inside of North Korea. There is no internet. It is a closed-off country. So they got to perfect a missile that's solid fuel capable, which is easier to launch, less warning to us, as well as miniaturizing a warhead. We think they have between 13 and 20 nuclear weapons. But the goal is to get it on top of the missile. It can make it all the way to America. They can launch it by land, from a big site or from a mobile site or from sea. They don't have that capability yet, but every day they march toward it. And I think that's what Trump is telling China and the world. Time is not on our side. Time is running out. And I am convinced that President Trump, if he had to, would stop this missile program if he thought it was about to develop the capability to hit America. Now, they have thousands of artillery pieces, rockets, a million-man army pointed at South Korea. We have 28,000 troops in South Korea. There's 30-something miles from Seoul, South Korea, a great ally. But this is the world we live in. There are no good options when it comes to North Korea. I think President Trump has sized up the situation as follows. My primary goal as president is to protect the American homeland, to make sure that no foreign power like North Korea, who is unstable, can ever have the capability to hit America with a nuclear-tipped missile, and he's working backward from that proposition. And China could change this if they chose. I hope China is listening. I hope China is understanding that what Trump did against Assad, dropping the mother of all bombs against ISIL, is a clear indication he's willing to do what's necessary to protect this country.
Are all of those moves that you just pointed out indicative of the president having solid foreign policy advisors that understand the use of military force?
Yes, sir. I think it's two things, Tony. I think it's the worldview that was lacking with Obama. Obama really goal was to end wars. In the process of trying to end two wars, he created five or six more. ISIL grew because we left Iraq too soon. Assad has joined up with Iran. He's a puppet of the Iranian regime, which is horribly destabilizing for the Arabs. And Israel had to hit Damascus several times because the weapons Assad has, he's going to turn over to Hezbollah, which is a direct threat to Israel. So the weakness leading from behind of Barack Obama has allowed conflict to grow. Here's what history teaches us. When you so adverse to conflict, you're going to get more of it. When you're willing to decisively deal with evil and conflict, usually is the best way to avoid conflict or end it. I think it's Trump's worldview that he is not going to be Obama. And when our enemies look at Trump and when our allies look at Trump, they don't see Obama. They see more of a Reagan figure. And the military advisors around him have been at war for 15 years. They understand radical Islam as well as anybody I've ever met. They have an understanding of what's going on in Korea. He could not have chosen a better national security team.
I would agree with your assessment, Senator. One final question for you, Senator Graham. The president said that he's open to meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un under the right conditions. What might those conditions be, do you know?
You know, Tony, this is a hard one for me because you don't want, you know, meeting with the president of the United States just by itself gives legitimacy to the person you're meeting with. But, you know, I'm going to be open-minded when it comes to President Trump. The right conditions would be if you don't stop, you know, getting them to change their behavior, to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, to stop their ICBM program, which is a direct threat to the United States. So I'll give President Trump whatever space he needs to stop this threat. If a meeting will help do it, fine. But here's what I do believe. That if the North Koreans don't believe that military force is on the table, no amount of sanctions are going to stop their quest to get a missile with a nuclear weapon on top. I do believe they're worried about Trump. They haven't tested a bomb since Trump has been president. Maybe that's an encouraging sign. So I'll leave it up to the president about meeting, but I would caution him to be very careful about this because you'll legitimize this guy, but maybe there's a scenario where meeting him could actually lead to the outcome we all seek. I don't want a war, but I don't want this guy in North Korea to be able to hit America with a missile with a nuclear weapon on top, and I am confident that President Trump shares that view. He has told me to my face that he's not going to let this threat tour to the point that America could be in the crosshairs Kim Jong-un, and I believe him.
All right, Senator, got to leave it there. Senator Lindsey Graham, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, don't go away. We're back right after this.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order your family's copy today at afastore.net.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Every year, more than 1 million women experience elective abortions. Hi, Kim Catola for Cradle My Heart Today. I never thought I would be one in a million. And you may be surprised to learn most of us women who made that choice have some connection to a church. This means there are millions of Christian women who never held the baby we thought we didn't want, but now wish we could have known and loved. The numbers are huge, but there's no comfort in knowing so many suffer. Only in how many can be freed from abortion's scars, as one by one, we each find the comfort of knowing Jesus Christ. He comes in friendship, lending his power for living, and helping us lay down our sorrows, struggles, and pain. You'll find a network of organizations offering healing help after abortion at CradleMyHeart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. CradleMyHeart.org.
Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. Well, we had at home in Louisiana, we had some real storms blow through. I know parts of the country, Texas and others, had some storms on Saturday and Sunday. But anyway, great, always great to be at church on Sunday and be with God's people. All right, while we were at church this weekend, members of Congress on the Appropriations Committees were working around the clock to come up with a comprehensive spending bill called an omnibus. And it's a combination of 11 appropriations bills. This is to fund the government through the end of the current fiscal year. It's about $1 trillion worth of spending bills. Hopefully, at the end of this fiscal year, they'll be back on track with actually doing spending bills, which they didn't do the entire time of Barack Obama. So what does this bill contain? Does it reflect the conservative budgetary principles that Donald Trump put forth that he wanted to see in his spending bill? Well, we'll find out. Joining us now, Congressman Andy Harris, who represents the 1st Congressional District of Maryland. Congressman Harris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, good to be with you, Tony.
So a long weekend for you guys, huh?
Well, you know, the staff worked around the clock, and obviously the subcommittee chairman and the chairman worked around the clock, but, you know, they came up with a bill that I'm afraid just doesn't really move the conservative ball down the court much further than it did last year. And, that was a little bit surprising to me.
Is it pretty much status quo from what we saw last year?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, considering that we have a new pro-life president, we should have made strides in that arena. We have a president who said he's going to support, conscience protection, and yet there's really no expansion of that in this bill, and there was opportunity to do that. So, I think it's disappointing, but it's as you say, you know, when you leave everything till the last minute, that's what happens. You don't pass the bills one at a time like you're supposed to.
So is the sense that on those policy issues, and let me explain that to our listeners, that in the situation that where we are with the 60-vote legislative filibuster, the threshold in the Senate, you've got to get beyond that in order to pass things. So appropriations bills considered, you know, must pass, they've got to get passed. Oftentimes policy writers are placed on those. So do you think then going into the next fiscal year that the Republicans will be willing to fight on some of those core conservative principles?
Well, I sure do hope so. I mean, I'm ready to fight for them. I hope my colleagues are as well. And I hope the president is willing to fight for them. You know, the fact of the matter is that, you know, Chuck Schumer, I think, wanted a government shutdown. The media in general would blame the Republicans, even if it was Chuck Schumer who was the one who insisted that really wanted a shutdown. But in the end, it all depends on how much we're willing to fight, and I hope we do, because this is an opportunity we haven't had for almost a decade to pass really solid pro-family, pro-life riders and appropriation bills.
Not that we're ready to break out the party favors, but there were some good developments on this. You maintained the pro-life riders and the other provisions that were status quo, and we don't want to take those completely for granted. Also able to increase some of the funding for abstinence education, moving that out of the column of the, if it feels good, do it column. And so there were some positive signs. They were small, but there were some good things coming out of it, were there not?
Yeah, there were. And you're right, abstinence education was important. Obviously, the president, through his Mexico City policy, will remove be able to, at the administration's discretion, remove some of the funding for international abortion promotion. But again, I think we could have made larger strides. I sure do hope we make larger strides in this upcoming appropriation bill.
So what were the sticking points then that had to be worked through if we weren't fighting over some of these core conservative principles? What were the major focal points?
Well, for instance, we thought this was the ideal location to put something about conscience protection in, something that mirrored H.R. 7, which is more global protection. I'm a little concerned that if we pass the American Health Care Act, as we will, I believe, this week, that the new plans that it sets up, which could have government subsidies flow through them, may, in fact, not have hide protections on them because we didn't expand the protections in this bill. I have an amendment every year that would not allow, under Obamacare, of course, the national policies that are written under Obamacare do not have the OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, which manages them, are spending federal dollars, to promote and administer plans that have abortion coverage. And we've put that amendment in on the bill, on our appropriation bill every year, but we've lost every year when we go to a conference with the Senate. And this year was no exception.
Now, the issue of Planned Parenthood, the funding for Planned Parenthood remains in the appropriations bill. However, you made reference to a moment ago the repeal of the Obamacare. That measure most likely going to pass the House this week, go over to the Senate. That does defund about 86% of Planned Parenthood's funding, does it not?
That's right, and that's great news. Belts and suspenders would have been to do it in this bill as well, but certainly the reconciliation bill, again, the American Health Care Act is what we're calling it, defunds Planned Parenthood for the rest of the fiscal year for a year, so that's a great start, and I look forward to it passing. I hope that provision remains in the Senate. I think it will. And the president will sign into the law what I thought would never happen in my lifetime, which is the defunding of Planned Parenthood.
And by the way, I should mention that Dr. Harris is a physician, and it's really the life issue that led him into politics and into Congress. And Andy, let me just say thanks not only for being on the program today, but for being on the Appropriations Committee. That's not an enviable place to be, but having a conservative in that process articulating and fighting for these conservative values and principles is, quite frankly, it's invaluable. So thanks so much.
No, and thanks for those kind words. It is an uphill battle sometimes.
All right. Dr. Harris, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Andy Harris of Maryland's 1st Congressional District. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Professor Howell from Liberty University. We're going to be talking about creation and evolution. He says creation is not a religion. Evolution is not science. We're going to talk about that next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
So we get some important information coming out this week. We do get non-farm payrolls out Friday. Non-farm private payrolls. We're going to get a look at unemployment rate, which I don't think is going to change. Probably going to stay at 4.5%. The thing that I'm very interested in Friday about employment is what's going to happen to labor participation. Are we going to see more people coming back into the workforce in the month of April like we have been seeing? I hope so. I would love to see the labor participation rate get into the 1980s. Just to get out of the 1970s would be an accomplishment. So let's hope we see that. We did get personal income and personal and consumer spending numbers. They came out already, and it looks like the savings rate for Americans is up to a seven-month high at 5.9%. Wow. Do you remember the days when an American savings rate was somewhere around 1.5%? As a matter of fact, I'm surprised it was that high. There was a time when we were far outspending increases in income. But nonetheless, that is a good number. It looks like inflation is retreating a little bit back off its five-year high. That's good news. Maybe we're seeing some stabilization there. The dollar continues to get strong, though, and it looks like the Federal Reserve is indicating that they are going to stay on track when it comes to interest rate hikes. They believe that the economy is getting stronger and is going to continue to do so regardless of what first quarter numbers look like.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. I remind you again, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time, we'll be having a special live event, Free to Believe, Religious Liberty in the Land of the Free, as we bring to you specific cases of religious freedom that have been jeopardized by our own government. We'll be talking about what you can do about it as we continue to work with the administration to try and get an executive order protecting religious freedom. But there's also, as Dr. Harris was talking about just a few moments ago, greater protections that are needed through Congress. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, it's often said that evolution is science and creationism is religion. With us now is Liberty University biology professor Daniel Howell, whose book, Sometimes Deceived, How Evolutionists Have Led Us Astray, is coming out this week, and it asserts that both creationism and evolution are both misunderstood. Dr. Howell, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thank you.
So the book comes out this week. Tell me, you and I spoke, it's been a few months back when I was at Liberty. We were in the green room, and I was speaking at convocation, and I was fascinated by the book. Tell our listeners, give us the premise of the book and why you wrote it.
Well, the premise of the book is that, as you said, both evolution and creation are misunderstood, and that evolutionists have led us astray by convincing us that evolution is science when, in fact, it really isn't. And I wrote the book. I didn't write the book to convert evolutionists, to say that, you know, to convince them that they're wrong and that I'm right and so forth. I really wrote the book for Christians because I think that so many of the problems that we have in our culture today really are stemming from the fact that we are losing sight of God as our creator. And we're more and more Christians are getting duped, if you will, by evolution. And they're beginning to buy into some of the evolutionary concepts. And so I just wanted to say, you know what? There are sound reasons to reject evolution, to believe in creationism. You're not a flat earther if you believe in evolution. And here are the reasons why. And so I wrote it to encourage Christians, to strengthen them in their walk, so that they are ready to give an answer for why they believe what they believe.
Well, I would absolutely agree with you, and I don't think people understand the policies and the other cultural shaping aspects of evolution. It's not just this concept, this theory that is taught in the classroom. It has palpable and impactful implications for us as a society. Now, what do you mean when you say evolution is not science?
Well, what I mean is that evolution is actually the same thing that creationism is. They're both actually the same thing, which is to say they're a myth. And I don't use the word, I'm using the word myth in a very specific way. A myth is a creation story about the origins of humanity, which is believed to be true by those who believe it, and it encompasses the deepest values of its adherents. So a myth is describing for us how humanity came to be. And the story of Genesis is the creation myth for the Judeo-Christian worldview, and biological evolution is the creation myth for the atheist worldview, because evolution rests on the explicit assumption that there is no God. So, and if you think about it, one of the problems that atheists had for thousands of years is that they could reject God, and they could reject God as creator, but they had no substitute explanation for how did we get here. And what Darwin and his colleagues did was to supply that answer, and through biological evolution, the way they've led us astray and deceived us is that they've presented this as science from the very beginning. In fact, what they did was they came up with a creation myth for the atheist worldview and have been passing that off as science.
But doesn't it have a lot of holes in it? When you look at their myth, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain.
It is. And when, you know, before you can even really talk intelligently about origins, though, there's so many things that we have to just define. And we have to define what is science, what is not science, what are facts, and where do we get our facts, and what is truth. And it turns out there's different types of facts, there's different types of truth, and there's different ways of doing science. And the only way you can study past events, which is what evolutionary, when you talk about a fish walking off, walking onto land for the first time, or the divergence of primates into humans and apes, these are past events. And the only way you can study those past events is using historical science. And you can study both creationism and evolution using historical scientific methods, but there's a lot of inferences, and there's a lot of circumstantial evidence that's brought into play. And so it's not surprising that an atheist and a theist would bring different assumptions to the table and get different conclusions from the inferences.
So, Dr. Howe, what do you hope is the outcome of your book, Sometimes Deceived, How Evolutionists Have Led Us Astray? What do you hope to be the outcome of your book that comes out this week?
Well, I'm not just looking at this piece of evidence and that piece of evidence, and yeah, there are a lot of holes that you can expose, and I do expose some of them. What I really want to do is step back and look at the bigger picture and say, you know what, evolution is not a science. It's a myth. It's a myth for the atheist worldview, and creationism is the myth for the Judeo-Christian worldview. And once you firmly get that, once you firmly understand that, so much of the holes begin to make sense, you know, as to why they're holes, where the gaps are, and that sort of thing. The logic, I have a chapter in the book on what's called logic, logic and first principles, where we break down the logic that's used in Darwinism and the fallacies that are committed and that sort of thing. But really, again, what I want to accomplish is for Christians who don't know why they believe what they believe to give them a reason. A Pew survey came out in 2016 that said that 49% of American adults who have left the church cite science as a reason. And no doubt the science they're talking about is evolution, or at least the worldview, the atheist worldview that has permeated science.
Right.
So
it is being treated.
Yeah.
It is being treated more favorably in our education system. Dr. Howe, we got to leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope the book does really well. Folks, don't go away. We're back on the other side of this break with your phone call.
We at the American Family Association believe men should not be allowed to use women's restrooms or dressing rooms. Yet the policy of Target allows just that. Do you agree that this policy poses danger to our women and children? Then sign the Boycott Target Pledge. When you do, you're saying, until Target makes the safety of women and children a priority, I'll shop elsewhere. The good news is the boycott is making a big difference. A Target financial report indicates a dramatic drop in their sales and earnings. And a Wall Street Journal article clearly shows that Target CEO Brian Cornell regrets his company's policy announcement welcoming men to use women's restrooms and dressing rooms. We're convinced that together we can stop this insanity before more women and children become victims. Sign the pledge today and tell others about the boycott. Go to afa.net/target. That's afa.net/target.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Now available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. Again, let me remind you, tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, a special webcast on religious freedom, free to believe. And you can find out more. Go to the website, tonyperkins.com, religious liberty in the land of the free, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Number of guests that will be on with us. First Liberty Institute's Mike Berry, Dr. Everett Piper, who often fills in for me, President of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Archbishop William Laurie, retired Navy chaplain Wes Motter, West Michigan Beef Company owner Donald Vanderboon, and Alliance Defending Freedom's Greg Baylor will join us and talk about why now more than ever Americans need the protection of an executive order to live out their faith in the public square. And we'll share the real-life stories of these ordinary people who've been punished or threatened by a hostile government for their moral views on life and marriage and human sexuality. So encourage your friends and family to tune in. That's tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern. To find out more, go to tonyperkins.com. All right, 866-372-7234. And I want to go back to our first topic. Lindsey Graham's always a great interview. But he's very knowledgeable on foreign policy issues. Don't agree with him on everything. But, you know, part of my mission here at Washington Watch is to inform you with those who know what's going on. We go around the fake news and get you the real news from the newsmakers themselves. That's why every day we have policymakers. There are a few programs like this, all right, anywhere, that have members of Congress and those who are, and these are not necessarily the ones you see on TV all the time. These are the guys and gals that are actually getting it done, and most of them have a biblical worldview. So they're looking at it from the same way that we are, same perspective. Not all, but a lot. So I think he's very knowledgeable on foreign policy issues. That's why I have him on, as is Senator John McCain. You know, not a favorite of a lot of conservatives, but he's very knowledgeable on defense issues and foreign policy issues. So I always like to have him on to talk about these things. In North Korea, I will tell you, yesterday at church, that was one of the issues that people wanted to ask me, what's going to happen with North Korea? I know it's on the minds of a lot of Americans because it's a very tense situation. And so I wanted to bring to you the latest on what's happening. And I think Donald Trump is down to a point where he's ready to, President Trump, ready to move and to act. But here's what I want to ask you, and I want you to weigh in on. You know, the president has said that he is he's willing to meet with Kim Jong-un under the right circumstances. Do you think he should? Do you think he should meet with him? Now, you heard Lindsey Graham. He was a little not completely convinced that he should because he felt like that might give legitimacy to the North Korean dictator. But he said, you know, hey, I'll give him space. If he wants to try to do that, if that'll resolve the situation, then okay, let's try it. So anyway, what do you think? Do you think that President Trump should meet with the dictator of North Korea? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation. Hey, if you're in Texas, you know, we haven't talked about this in a week or so, a couple weeks maybe. Started out Senate Bill 6, which the lieutenant governor and the Senate put forth, which would have, it was a Texas safety bill, protected the women and children and others in the state of Texas from these crazy bathroom policies that were being pushed by local jurisdictions and schools. Well, they never got a hearing in the House, and so the House created or introduced a bill called, it was House Bill 2899, which was the House version of it, a little less, very similar to what North Carolina's did. And that had a hearing last week, but it has not gotten a vote, and time is running out. If it is not passed here soon, these protections, this Texas safety bill, is going to die. So need you to contact your state representatives, your state representative, and if you live in Texas, and urge them to vote for House Bill 2899 to move it forward. You can email all the members of the House State Affairs Committee that has yet to vote on the bill. They've heard testimony on, but they've not voted on it. I'll see if I can get a phone number for you. I don't have one at hand, but I'll see if I can get one here before we break up. But if you're in Texas, put that down on your to-do list. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to South Carolina where Pete is on the line. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for my call. And to answer your question, only under specific conditions, and those conditions should demonstrate unequivocally that he is serious about joining the peaceful world of civilized nations and constraining his military. I don't know exactly what those would be, but it would have to be concrete specifications before he should ever have the privilege of meeting with the President of the United States.
Now, do you think he can really do that? I mean, can he reach that bar? I mean, this guy, he's crazy.
He's crazy. Yeah, he's bona fide insane, and he's a little devil. I mean, he's killing his family members. He cannot be trusted. So lay out the conditions and take it from there. But he personally, no way can he be trusted in a serious conversation. No way.
Yeah. All right, Pete, thanks so much. I mean, yeah, I'm all for talking. I would much rather resolve differences by talking. I think that's good. But I'm not sure about this guy. He's kind of, if you watched him and then you read what he has done to his own family members. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Texas where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Tony, you cannot reason with a madman. There is, there's absolutely no way. We have seen that, you know, Obama basically gave Iran the keys to the nuclear arsenal. And Kim Jong-un would be about as trustworthy as Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, or Iran. You can sit and you can talk, but in the end, I don't believe that anything would be accomplished by talking, especially to someone who is as mentally imbalanced as he obviously is.
Yeah, everybody wants to avoid military use of military forces. And Carol, I know, you and I have spoke frequently, and you're a faithful listener to Washington Watch, and I knew you have a son that serves in the military, and so nobody wants to send our men and women into harm's way. But sometimes some of these people are. This is not a rational man. You know, when you look at options and how you might rein them in, you have what's called the rational man theory, and this guy's not rational. He's irrational, and so it's we're going to have to use other means to bring him in. And I think part of that is what Senator Graham talked about earlier, was using China, leaning on them, because it's not to their benefit either to have a war. They don't want the United States over there in that region of the world. They don't want our ships over there. They don't want us flying our planes over there. They don't want us around. So I think they want to get this thing resolved quickly as well. So Carol, thanks so much for the call. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, the scripture actually speaks to this about speaking to a fool. I mean, and I think this guy is Proverbs 23:9 says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. So I just don't know if this guy can get it. I mean, I think he's pure evil, quite frankly. All right, let me give you the number to Speaker Strauss's office in Texas. For those of you in Texas that would like to weigh in on the Texas safety bill that's being blocked, essentially, in the House committee, but the Speaker could get it moving forward. 512-463-1000. That's for Speaker Strauss's office. That's 512-463-1000. Okay? Jot that down. Let's go to Georgia, where Francis is on the line. Francis, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I think President Trump should meet with him, no reservation. Sit with him and find out what's on his mind. Everybody says he's crazy, he's unreasonable. I'm not too sure about that. There's a history of U.S. boats being on Korean soil, and that might be in the back of his mind, as I'm sure it is. So he may be taking a defensive posture. So meet with him, talk with him, find out what's on his mind, find out what he wants, and you can talk to them, but once you start war, it's a whole other story.
Yeah. Well, again, I think, Francis, thanks so much for the call. I think most people, I don't know anybody that wants a war, especially after we've been, for over a decade involved in Afghanistan and Iraq and the Middle East. But I clearly would agree with Senator Graham. It's got to be on the table. And the president has left it on the table. I give President Trump high marks for his foreign policy thus far, given what he inherited, the mess that he inherited from the Obama administration. Look, he's been very decisive, and I applaud that. And he has not committed troops in some of these places. He's dealt with the threats, but I think he's done so in a Reagan-esque way. All right, let's work in a few more phone calls here. Let's go to Michigan, where Wayne is on the line. Wayne, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony, for taking my call. My personal opinion is that I wouldn't like to see the president try to negotiate with him. I would liken him like King Herod. You made some comments about being a fool. I don't think there's any possible way to have any discernment to have meaningful talks about, trying to come to some sort of a peace, for the world. And I don't know if China's going to be the one. For whatever reason, they're lagging behind with, you know, trying to end this thing. They probably have some other reasons, I'm sure, for themselves personally. But I don't know how to end this thing other than it would be definitely through power. I don't say go in there and bomb them or something like that, but we've got to show strength, because I think that's the only kind of talk that kind of a person could possibly understand, and they might not even understand that. They'd just be forced into a position of, you know, putting their arms down. So that's my opinion.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate that. You know, it's hard to get into this guy's mind, but oftentimes when someone like this, you actually pay attention to them, they become emboldened in their positions, and they crave the attention and to be, you know, I think this guy, I mean, he's obviously suffering from a poor self-esteem. I mean, I would if I had a haircut like that. But anyway, he is obviously struggling and insecure. I mean, that's why he's killing all of his family members. But you put him in the spotlight and you make him the focus and you try to reason with him. I think that only is going to make him more dangerous myself. I think you do try to talk, but I think you talk through other parties like China, lean on their leadership. I think you keep in the background a strong military threat that you would be willing to use. You never threaten more than you're willing to use, but you know, have it on the table and pray and hope you don't have to use it. But I am uncomfortable with what I believe could happen by elevating this guy to a position of talking with the president of the United States, regardless of who that president is. But clearly, Donald Trump, as he has become the president of the United States, has emerged as a world leader immediately. I mean, there was a huge void. And so he immediately, with his decisive leadership, has stepped into that void and is seen as arguably the leader of the free world. And so I am a bit concerned, as has been articulated all the way back to Senator Graham, that it could elevate the stature of this, political stature of this man. Anyway, we'll see. I will tell you, folks, this is something we do need to pray about. Be prayerful, because this is a very significant and difficult situation. Folks, sorry I didn't get to the rest of the phone calls. Thanks so much for listening and calling in. But we'll be back, Lord willing, again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Big week this week in Washington, D.C. National Day of Prayer will be taking place. That's on Thursday. We'll be talking more about that. And good things happening. We'll be talking more about those things as well this week. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.